So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Paranjana becomes a woman in his next life, text 56 and 57, beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Patindriyata arama dvarak prana nava prabho tejo bradnani kostani kulam indriya sangraha. Translation: my dear friend, the five gardens are the five objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air, which passes through the nine gates. The three apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The six families are the aggregate total of the mind and the five senses. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The five senses that acquire knowledge are sight, taste, smell, sound, and touch. And these act through the nine gates, the two eyes, two ears, one mouth, two nostrils, one genital, and one rectum. These holes are compared to gates in the walls of the city. The principal ingredients are earth, water, and fire, and the principal actor is the mind, which is controlled by the intelligence, buddhi. So not much of a purport. We'll go on to the next verse. So please note for tomorrow's verse. Vipanastu kriya shaktir bhuta prakritir avyaya shaktyadisha pumanstvatra pravisto navabudyate. Translation: the five stores are the five working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity enters the material creation, and with the aid of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and thus his body is formed. Although the living entity is working from within, he is nonetheless unknown. The living entity enters the material creation, but because he is bewildered by the material energy, he appears to be hidden. The bodily conceptions of life is prominent because of ignorance, navabuddhate. Intelligence is described in the feminine gender, but owing to her prominence in all activities, she is described in this verse as Adisha, the controller. The living entity lives by means of fire, water, and food grains. It is very interesting because of these three chief ingredients. We always see five, and now there's only three: fire, water, and food grains. Food grains is, Prabhupada has translated, earth. The living entity lives by means of fire, water, and food grains. It is through the combination of these three that the body is maintained. Consequently, the body is called prakriti, material creation. All the elements gradually combine to form flesh, bone, blood, and so on. All these appear as various apartments. It is said in the Vedas that the digested foods are also divided into three. The solid portion becomes stool, and the semi-liquid portion turns into flesh. The liquid portion turns yellow and is again divided into three. One of these liquid portions is called urine. Similarly, the fiery portion is divided into three. One is called bone. out of the five elements, fire, water, and food, grains are very important. These three are mentioned in the previous verse, whereas sky and air are not mentioned. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 20. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikaram cha gunam chaiva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. Material nature and the living entity is to be understood to be beginningless. Their transformation and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Prakriti, material nature, and the Purusha, the living entity, are eternal. When they both come in contact, there are different reactions and manifestations. All of them should be considered the results of interaction of the modes of material nature. In that city, the material body, there are five gardens, nine gates, one protector, three apartments, six families, five stores, five material elements, and one woman who is lord of the house. My dear friend, the five gardens are the five objects of sense enjoyment, and the protector is the life air which passes through the nine gates. The three apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. The six families are the aggregate total of the mind and five senses. The five stores are the five working sensory organs. They transact their business through the combined forces of the five elements, which are eternal. Behind all this activity is the soul. The soul is a person and an enjoyer in reality. However, because he is now hidden within the city of the body, he is devoid of knowledge. So here now the whole allegory is being revealed to King Prachini Barhishit, to the agency of the Brahman, who's the old friend. Now he's explaining all the different things that we've been reading about. So he begins, in the city, the material body, there are five gardens, nine gates, one protector, three apartments, six families, five stores, five material elements, and one woman who is lord of the house. My dear friend, the five gardens are the five objects of sense enjoyment. There's five objects of sense enjoyment: sight, touch, smell, sound, and taste. These are the five gardens where the living entity tries to enjoy. The five objects of sense enjoyment. These are the five objects of sense. And the protector is the life air, which passes through the nine gates. Prabhupada describes the nine gates. Later on, the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, mouth, genital, and rectum. These are the nine, there's holes into the body, so this can be considered like gates. The three apartments are the chief ingredients, fire, water, and earth. But in the purport, Prabhupada mentions these as fire, water, and food grains, but food grains is a transformation of earth. So by the combination of these three things, with the fire we cook and water we drink and then we eat the food grains, we maintain our life. So these are the three apartments. The six families are the aggregate total of the mind and the five senses. We have five working senses. And then above them is the mind. So these are described as six families. So these five. So the five senses that acquire knowledge are sight, taste, smell, sense, and touch. And above them is the mind. Now the five stores are the working sensory organs. Because not only we have five, we just described the knowledge acquiring senses, because these five, panch, gyanindriya, they acquire knowledge of our environment by sound, touch, smell, taste, everything. We acquire knowledge of what is our environment. Then, with our five working senses, what are the five working senses? Huh? One of them has double work. Jai si si gorni tai si si Krishna Balaram si si Radha Sham Sundarji. See the Prabhupada. His tongue, he has double work. One is, he's double agent. He acquires knowledge by taste, but this tongue is also busy chatting. All day long, everybody's chatting on Facebook and Skype and Instant Messenger, everybody chatting. This is the business of tongue. So he's got two. One is to acquire knowledge, another is to work. Then we have two hands, we have two legs, we have genital and rectum. These are the five senses by which we do work. First we acquire knowledge of our environment. Then we decide to try to enjoy the environment. So we use our hands to acquire things, we use our feet to go places. We use our genital and we use our rectum. These are the five, and we use this tongue for talking so much nonsense all day long. So the five stores of the five working sensory organs, they transact their business through the forces of the five elements. So first we heard there was three ingredients, but then again now we're having these five elements: earth, air, fire, water, and ether. This is described in Bhumirapu Nalu Vayu, Kammanu Budrevacha. Five Bhuta, we call it the Pancha Bhuta, or sometimes Pancha Tattva. This is another type of Pancha Tattva. We know a different type of Pancha Tattva that's nicer. So these working senses, they grapple with all these five different elements to try to make some arrangement for enjoyment within this material world. So behind all this is the soul. Actually, the whole thing is being run by the energy of the soul. Without the soul, we see the body becomes useless. So Prabhupada explains here that the living entity, he enters within this material nature, these elements, earth, air, fire, water, and ether, and he thus gets a different type of body according to his past karma. And he's working from within, but he's unknown. Because the living entity has been bewildered by this material energy. He's unable to see the soul. He's only able to perceive material elements, because the senses of this body, earth, air, fire, water, ether, these are all material. So our senses are made from these elements, so we're unable to perceive the spiritual element. So we're in illusion. So Prabhupada gives a nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. Where is this? Chapter 13, verse 20. A very amazing purport is there to help us understand. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanandi ubhavapi vikaramscha gunamscha eva vidi prakriti sambhavan. Material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beginningless. Now this is very amazing, but a couple of times the purport, Prabhupada stops, talks about earth, air, fire, water, ether, these five elements as being eternal. Where we always talk about them as being temporary. How do we solve this mystery? Here Prabhupada, rather than eternal, he describes them beginningless. But in another sense, this material world is also eternal, because the process of creation of material nature is going on eternally. Sometimes manifest, sometimes manifest. All the forms and everything within this nature, they're temporary. We make so many, just like we built this beautiful temple, after 1,000 years, it will turn into dust. We're always constantly having to maintain it, but after some time it cannot be maintained, then it has to be torn down and new one constructed. Everything is, even though we see this body, it runs for some time, then it turns into dust. But the process of material energy is eternal. It is eternally going on. And when Lord Vishnu breathes out, then billions of universes come into being with Brahmas and Shivas and so many billions of living entities and Indras and Chandras and so many things. It all comes out. And then when he breathes back in, everything is all wound up. And it seems like for an eternity, for billions and billions of years, it's all, because Lord Brahma's life, we know, is 4,322,320,000 years. 4,320,000 years. And that's just one day, then there's night, then there's so many, then 360 of those types of days and nights, then it becomes billions and billions of years, and that's just one year, and then whole lifetime of Brahma, 100 years. So the same amount of time that the whole universe was manifest, then it's all wound up. So in this way it seems like it's temporary. But actually again, when Lord Vishnu breathes out, again, the whole thing is manifest. So the process is going on eternally. So although sometimes we may be confused why here is saying that this earth, air, fire, water, these are all eternal. Because this process is going on eternally. Material nature and living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. So all this is being controlled by the three modes of material nature, according to the three modes, different types of transformations and different combinations of attitudes and different types of things are coming out. Purport. By this knowledge, the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body. Notice Prabhupada uses plural, knowers. Because previously we know that one verse, Chaitragya Chapi Mam Vidhi. Chaitragya Chapi. Cha is a tiny little word, but as soon as that word is there, it means two. So there's two knowers. By this knowledge, the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the super soul, can be known. The body is the field of activity, is composed of material nature. So we're eternal soul, we've entered into this body, this is our field of activity. We work within this body. I know the pains and pleasures of this body, I don't know the pains and pleasures. I can sympathize with your pains and pleasures, but I don't feel them. Because I have a separate field of activities. It is the individual soul which is embodied. Enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha, the living entity. He is one knower and the other is the super soul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the super soul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See here, although it's Chaitragya cha api mam vidhi, they're two. In another sense here, Prabhupada said they're one, because even the living entity, all the living entities, they're manifestations of Krishna's own energy. So in one sense, we're all Krishna, but we're not the Supreme. We're the tiny Krishna, and Krishna is the big Vibhu and Anu. We're Anu, very small, and Krishna is very big. But we're all manifestation of Krishna's energy. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. So the both are knowers, still the one is the personal expansion of the Lord, he's controller, and the other is the living entity. Both material nature and living entity are eternal. Again we're hearing this. That is today, they existed before the creation. Material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities, but they are of superior energy. Both of them existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we, Mahavishnu. So here we see the resolution of our mystery. material nature was existing, but it was absorbed within the body of the Lord, Mahavishnu. And when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also within him. And because they are conditioned, they are adverse to serving the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada uses this very interesting word, conditioned. Conditional life, conditioned living entity. Have you ever thought about it? Just like now it's summertime, so everybody has got air conditioner. What does the air conditioner do? The air is very hot, it conditions it to become cold. It changes the condition of the air. So our natural condition is to serve Krishna, but by coming in contact with material energy, now we're conditioned to be adverse to Krishna. Because they are conditioned, now we're conditioned, they are adverse to serving the Supreme Lord. That's where Prabhupada gets this, just like the air conditioner conditions the air to be cold. So now we're conditioned to be adverse to serving the Lord. We want to enjoy our senses. Thus they are allowed to enter into this, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky. Because we want to exploit the material nature, we're not allowed to enter this material, the spiritual sky. After winding up of the material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. Now Prabhupada writes very poetically, listen to this. That is the mystery of material creation. Just see how poetically Prabhupada writes. That is the mystery of this material creation. Somebody may ask, well, what is the use of this material world? But because we are adverse to serving Krishna, we want to enjoy our senses, therefore Krishna creates this material energy. But the real purpose is to finally give us a chance to become reformed, reconditioned. Now we're conditioned, we want to become reconditioned. Just like when some car wears out, then we recondition it, make it again in proper order. So our proper order is to serve Krishna, now we're conditioned. So now we need to be reconditioned to again serve Krishna. So this material nature is a chance. Otherwise, if we became averse to Krishna, there's no place in this spiritual world for anyone averse to Krishna, where Krishna will keep us. Everybody in the spiritual world is absorbed. It's like we heard this beautiful description by Matsya Avatar yesterday. Beautiful description of the spiritual world of the Vaikuntha Loka. That was most amazing. Then even more amazing, the Goloka Vrindavan. So amazing. So, in such an amazing place, we have no room for such rascal who doesn't want to serve Krishna. So where Krishna will keep us? Therefore he creates this material energy. This is the mystery. Otherwise there's no use of material energy. Everybody in the spiritual world is going on. And Krishna could ban us for eternity from the spiritual world, if he wanted. But still, Krishna loves every living entity. He wants them to come back. He wants them to love him. Krishna has got so much love. Therefore he's created. This is the mystery of this material creation. This place for us to become reformed. So we can again go back to home, back to Godhead. Otherwise there's no place in spiritual sky. So he has to create some place. So poetically Prabhupada writes, that is the mystery of this material creation. Actually living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within the material nature. It does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. It doesn't matter. We can go on trying to figure out how did we get here in the first place. Just like some people, they try to do so many different karmakanda things to counteract all of their past activities. But how we'll find out all the past sins we'll do, and it's so complicated, this whole material world is so complicated. It's like the house is on fire, whole building is burning down, and you want to sit there, well, how did this fire start anyway? First business is get the hell out of the fire. We don't want to sit there and figure out, oh, how did this fire start? Our first thing is we get out of the fire, isn't it? Everybody runs out of the house when it's on fire. Then the police inspector, the fire inspectors, they come and they figure out that it was short circuit. They figure out, that's later. First thing is get out. So Prabhupada said, it does not matter. It really does not matter how the living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, He knows, however, and how and why this actually took place. In the scripture, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence. But we should know it is with certainty from the description of these few verses that all the transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations and variety in respect to the living entities are due to this body. As far as the spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. So I thought this was a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. So here this whole story has been given, all about parks and gardens and everything. Now everything is being explained. The gardens where we try to enjoy, those are the objects of the senses. This describes six families, that's the five senses in the mind. The nine gates to the city. The city's got nine gates. We see in our body, we have nine holes entering into this body. So now in this part of this whole story of King Paranjana, everything is being unraveled. And then at last it says that there's one controller of the whole thing. One woman is there controlling. That is called intelligence. Above even the mind, we already heard about the mind, but above even the mind is the intelligence. Because the mind's business only accepting, rejecting. Some days the mind wants to do something, some days it doesn't want to do something. You just ping, 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 ping like this. But by intelligence, we can understand, just like some days, we get up in the morning and we don't feel like chanting japa. But by the intelligence we know that if I don't chant japa, I will just become more and more entangled in this material nature. I have promised my spiritual master. So by the intelligence, mind is saying, no, 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 why you want to chant? It's go back to sleep. Mind is telling so many things. But by intelligence is higher than the mind. I didn't know. It is very good for you. By chanting, your heart will become purified. You'll be able to meet Krishna in the way we heard this wonderful description yesterday. Meeting Krishna finally after going through all this hellhole here. So that is intelligence. What else was there? Five. The three ingredients, fire, water, and food grains. These are the three apartments. There's five stores. We described already the five working senses and five knowledge acquired, five working senses. So now he's trying to get our King Prachini Bahishad and ourselves also to understand this whole story has been about ourselves. We're living in a city with nine gates. We have so many ministers and relatives and friends and gardens and so many things. This is us. We're the soul. This whole big long story we've been going through is just describing our situation in this body. Now we have to, understanding by the intelligence that we're not this body and we've become conditioned by material nature. Now we want to recondition. We want to become receptive to the service. Now we're rebellious to the service of the Lord. We want to become receptive to the service of the Lord. And especially now in this material energy, it is Kali Yuga. So it is even more difficult. People have no inclination whatsoever for spiritual life. No, everybody we see completely madly running after material enjoyment. So this is Kali Yuga. So it's a very difficult time. Therefore, out of His unlimited mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared and given us a simple process, the same senses by which we're trying to exploit this material nature. We can use those same senses to become liberated. What are we going to do? We're stuck with all these senses. They're bothering us all day long. But same senses we can use to become liberated, reconditioned. This is like number one, this tongue. All day long he's talking so many things. If you actually sit down and listen, most of the time so much nonsense talking going on. Mostly we don't listen. We just talk and we don't listen. Even we just talk to just talk. Just like a couple of weeks ago we went to Gujarat. And now I understood what hell is. I was in a compartment, there was 8 young Indian men there who were all in the same company. And the whole night, and even after they finally let me lie down and go to sleep, they continued to talk and talk and talk. And so useless talk. Now I know what it's hell to be stuck in a train with 6 young Indians. Just talking. Make around. Make an achatahum. And completely, I couldn't imagine that anybody wanted to even hear what they were talking. It was completely useless. But they're just talking just to talk. So this business of tongue is talking and talking. Even we don't listen, we just want to talk. And nobody's really listening. So the same talking we can use for singing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. What is that nice verse? Grayam Indriyai, Seva Mukhi Jivadu. How's that start? Ataksi Krishna Nabari, Nabaved Grayam Indriyai, Seva Mukhi Jivadu, Swayam Eva Spratida. With these material senses, we cannot perceive Krishna. We were just discussing, we cannot perceive Krishna. But still, by engaging them in Krishna's service, Sevam Mukhi, Ataksi Krishna Nama Adi, Nama Adi, Adi means etc. in Sanskrit. So Krishna's name, form, pastimes, these things, Grayam, Grayam means to be taken. Nabhaved Grayam Indra, by your senses you cannot take these things, you cannot understand, you cannot perceive. But Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Spratyada. Sprat means it is revealed. Krishna will reveal Himself. These senses are unable, but if we engage those senses in Krishna's service, especially this tongue, Seva Mukhi Jiva. Just like we sing every day, Jiva Fele Vesai. Jiva means this tongue. If we use this tongue to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then we perceive some type of pleasure that's not coming from anything in this material world. I've been so many times on Sankirtan, somebody came up, he says, I don't understand, I've seen you people in Moscow, I've seen you people in New York, all these in the LA and San Francisco and Tokyo, all these horrible big cities with noise and pollution and everything, where you people always have smile on your face. You people always have smile on your face. I don't understand. Because our happiness doesn't depend on some material combination of situations. Our happiness is coming from within, that you will perceive just by chanting. Because that's all, the only difference is. This person, I go to all these hellish cities, so much noise and pollution and sounds and everything. sound pollution, air pollution, water pollution, dirt pollution, everything's polluted in all these places. You guys are always smiling. Because we're perceiving some happiness that doesn't depend on material energy. Just because simply we took out a little air time from our chat to chant. We took out a little time to chant instead of chat. And we perceive. The tongue is the most uncontrolled. So if we can control the tongue by chanting, then all the other senses, just like every day, everybody's just waiting. When are they going to pull? It's so dramatic. Every day we're waiting and waiting. When are they going to pull the curtain? We're always thinking as soon as they blow the conch shell, they just pull the curtain. But it always, there's some wait. And as soon as the curtain opens, we see Gaur Nitai in their new dress. Whoa! So beautiful. So eye is also being engaged in Krishna's service. The business of eye is to see beautiful form. So we see the beautiful form, C.C. Gaur Nitai, C.C. Krishna Balaram, C.C. Radha Shyam Sundar. Business of tongue also to taste. Everybody tasting so many nasty things. But we make nice rasgullas, sandesh, paneer sabji, puri, sweet rice, halava. But first we offer to Krishna. Then it becomes prasadam. Actually, I think at least more than 50% of the devotees, they all became devotees by prasadam. I know myself, I was conquered by a gulab jamun. I never heard of a gulab jamun in my life. And devotee told me, here, you know how to eat this? Go like this. And he threw the whole gulab jamun in his mouth. And I picked it up. I said, if he can do it, I can do it. I put that gulab jamun in my mouth. I thought, wow, I'm in the spiritual world. I thought it was never going to end. Because they were preaching that in the spiritual world, enjoyment never stops. Here in the world, this world, it gets dull. When I was a young kid, used to be a commercial on TV. Smoking more, enjoying less, smoking more, enjoying less. Come up to cool. Everybody's sense of enjoyment becomes less. Smoking more, but enjoying less. Come up to cool. And Prabhupada said he's talking, he's breathing fire and he's talking cool. Just see the nonsense. So we want to taste, but we can taste nice gulab jamuns. I thought, now I made it. It was never going to end. I'm in the spiritual sky. And actually it's a fact. When we want to dance so we can dance for Krishna. Actually, the devotees dance so ecstatically. I went to one of these. Nowadays, it's become very popular. We go to the yoga institutes and we do kirtan. Then I realized the devotees are dancing on the platform of the soul. Because when you see devotees dance, it's so beautiful. But when you see persons who haven't really been purified yet by kirtan, it's just.
Mm-hmm.